When I speak in public, one of the first thing that the people think about me is that I'm British, because I'm not. I know that my accent can trick you. I'm not a British man. I am Italian, and my name is Joele. But if it is too difficult, you can call me Joel or Joel, one of the prophets of the Bible, you know, the prophet about that speaks about the Holy Spirit. I'm not that prophet, but I have the same name. I would like to share with you something from the Word of God that came out from one of my meditation times. And it will be from... I prepared a PowerPoint because I took different readings from different passages, and I didn't want to distract you too much in looking for passages. I will speak about the multiplication of the bread and the loaves, but I wanted to take the accounts from the four different Gospels, and because every Gospel shows a different perspective, and I tried to mix them all so that we have a quite clear story. So we start from Luke, and it says, "When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, 'Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here.'" Then we continue from Mark and says, "But he answered, 'You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'What would take, that would take more than half a year's wage. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have?' he asked. 'Go and see.' And John continues. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. 'Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?' And then Jesus... Still stuck. Okay, then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples and distributed to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up the 12 basketful of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, beside women and children." This is a great story, in my opinion. And the picture that I have of this miracle, that I've always said of this miracle, is the same that comes from the movie. I'm sure that we all watched movies about Jesus. And it's funny because in all the movies we see Jesus having this basket full of bread in his hand. He raises up to the heaven. When he finished to give thanks, he puts down the basket and the basket is full of bread and fish. Have you watched the same kind of movies? Jesus lifts the basket to the heaven, thank God, he put it down, and the basket is full of bread. Now, before I go on, I would like to show you some pictures. Bethsaida, this is the place where Jesus was. Now, this might not be the exact location where the multiplication happened, but just to give you an idea of what was going on. Jesus arrived from the sea, and he could have been in a place like that. You see the shore there, then there is the grass, a little hill goes up. And this could be more or less the scenario. And I consider 10,000 people. Why 10,000? We spoke about 5,000 people, 5,000 men, beside women and children. So if you want to be optimistic, let's say that half of those men were there with a woman, with a wife. So we go up to 7,500. Let's say that they had at least one child each. Maybe more, because they didn't have televisions and all this stuff. So let's say 10,000 people. And I have some pictures here of crowds of 10,000 people. This is a picture of 10,000 people. This is another one of 10,000 people. And this is another one. This was a big crowd. They were all there on the hill that I showed you before, sitting on the grass, listening to the teaching of Jesus. And now I have a little picture, two pictures that show you about the small loaves of bread and the small fish. It could have been something like that, just to give you an idea of what we are talking about. I presume and hope that the fish were cooked. Because if they were the breakfast of a boy, I hope that the mother wouldn't give a raw fish to a boy. And here is just a little representation of the basket of food given to Jesus. Now, I wanted to show you something, because I would like us to be there with our minds and think what was actually happening. So the food was given to Jesus, and from the movies we learn that he prayed, he put down the basket, and he was full of food. But then I was reading in Mark 6:14, the one that we read before, that Jesus divided the two fish. So I started to think, actually Jesus didn't divide 100 fish, he divided two fish. After he finished to pray, he still had two fish in his hands. After he finished to pray, he still had five small loaves of bread. And I started to think, how did it happen then? I started to ask myself lots of questions. And then I went back and thinking about other examples of multiplication in the Bible. And I went back to the story of Elijah, when he went in the house of the widow. Are you familiar with this story? He went in the house of this widow, and he asked her, "Can you make some bread for me?" And she said, "Oh, I have only a little bit of flour spare and a little bit of oil. I'm going to make some bread for myself and my son, and then we are going to starve." And Elijah told her, "Don't worry, woman. Just make some bread for me, and your jug will be always full of oil, and your jar will be always full of flour, until it will rain again." And this went on for 3 years. 3 years. But this lady, she had 3 years provision of oil, 3 years provision of flour, but we didn't read in the Bible that all the cupboards of her house were full of bread. Then she opened the freezer, there was already frozen bread ready for the everyday provision, that all the sink was full of oil, and then, I don't know, the water for the red fish became oil, and everything became oil and bread in her house. No. It was a progressive kind of provision that God gave them for the family. And then I went back and looked another miracle with Elisha. It was Elijah's successor, always with another widow. And he goes there, and she goes to him and says, "I have creditors looking after me. They want to take my sons as slave because I can't manage to pay my debts." And the prophet told her, "Go and gather all the jugs that you can from your neighbors and fill them with oil. From that little one jug of oil that you have, you will be able to raise money to pay all your debts." But it doesn't say that it started to rain oil from heaven, or that, I don't know, God asked this woman to put a big bucket in one place and God would send a cloud just in that place to send all the oil all in once. No. From a little jug, she started to pour oil everywhere. Are you following me? Is my British accent quite clear for you? Okay, good. And then I was thinking about another incident. This is more recent. It's about maybe 25 years ago, 26. There was an evangelistic team in my area in Italy called Cristo Risposta, Christ is the Answer. And they used to travel around Italy with a tent. Now they were in my area. And at the end of the week, the few weeks that they were there, my mom thought with my auntie, let's make some pizza for them. Let's just bless them. It's the last day, they're about to go. So they prepared this surprise, and they made pizza for the team. There were maybe 10, 15 in the team. So they went there, and at the end of the service, they went to the team, to the leader, and said, oh, you know, we made some pizza for you. And someone heard. And the voice spread. And everyone under the tent knew that there was pizza. No one left the tent. Everyone wanted pizza. And now there were maybe 50, 60, 70 people that wanted to eat pizza. My mom started to panic with my auntie. And they said, this pizza is enough just for 15 people. The tent is full. And they prayed, God, please do something. Well, the pizza, I can guarantee the pizza was good. And people liked it. People were satisfied, they ate. There were still leftovers. And my mom and my auntie couldn't explain what happened. They didn't see pizza coming out from everywhere. The pizza was the same. But God made something great that night. And they still remember. So I'm thinking about this gradual multiplication. And can you imagine Jesus, this drove me crazy. Can you imagine Jesus giving thanks for this food and asking his disciples, okay, now you stay here in front of me. Please get 12 baskets and get all the crowd of people in groups. So we have something like 140, 150 groups of 50s or 100 to reach them 1,000, then 10,000 people. All around this big area, this big grass hill, all sitting on the grass. And these 12 disciples, wondering what was going on, with 12 baskets, ready to receive few scrambles of bread each. And Jesus breaking these 5 loaves, a little bit for you, a little bit for you, a little bit for you, and then breaking this little cooked fish, and breaking some pieces there, some pieces there, some pieces. This is what happened. And now the disciples were looking at Jesus. Now they turn around and they look at the crowd. And they look at their baskets. And they look at Jesus. And Jesus tells them, go. And they say, what are we doing? Who are we following? Are we really doing this? Are we really doing this? And while they walk toward the first group of people, they see they are hungry. And they look their bread. And they think, this is insane. This doesn't make sense. But then, when they reach the first group of people, they look at their basket. Actually, there is a bit more bread than what they remembered. It's still not enough. So they give the basket to the first person. They ask them to bring the basket around. And they are waiting at the end of the group for the basket. But they are waiting for someone to shout, please, can we have some more? We finished. But actually, no one was complaining. So they wait. At the end of the first 100 people, the basket comes back. Now there is more bread than before. And there is more fish than before. What was happening there? Thomas wouldn't believe it. Thomas was there. He was thinking that someone had put some yeast. Maybe there was some chemicals used. Maybe the preservatives were too many. Too much preservatives in the bread. Peter was excited. Wow, a miracle. Wow, that's great. You know Peter. He gets excited. But then Matthew, he was confused. You know, he was good with maths, money. He was a publican. He used to get the taxes from people. Now, his maths doesn't make sense. But then they went on. Every one of them had to serve something like 800 people each, 850 people each. 12 groups of people each. And they arrived at the end of the 12 groups each, and their basket is now empty. And someone shout from the first groups, "What shall we do about with the leftovers?" Leftovers? They started to collect all the leftovers, and each one of them has a basket full of pieces of bread and fish. And this didn't make sense. And this was for me a kind of revelation. Why do I believe that this detail of this miracle is so important? Because I see myself, I see every one of us with our little. Sometimes, you know, there are three kind of people. I lost my remote control. Yeah, there are three kind of people in church. There are those that have the loaves, but they don't do anything. They do nothing. Why? Because they see the big crowd, they see the big need, and they have only five breads. Why should I bother to give my bread to Jesus if the need is so big? It's better if I just keep it for myself. And I was even thinking, the disciples were not only 12. There were a good 70, 80 people, maybe hundreds of people following regularly Jesus, plus the crowd. Do you really think that the only food that they had available were 5 little loaves and 2 fishes? I think that most probably there were lots of people who had the loaves, but did nothing about it, because they wouldn't believe. So there are these people among the church as well today who have gifting, who have capacities, who have skills, who have abilities, but they see in themselves little, too little. What can I do? And they do nothing. There is another group of people. They have the loaves and they are ready to do the first step. Then they face the crowds and they say, "Okay, Jesus, I gave it to you. Now you serve the crowds. I am not going there." Imagine if the disciples received the bread and then said, "Jesus, you know, you are a good man. You speak very well. Why don't you go to serve the crowds?" The disciples were maybe unbelieving, but they went. You know? And there are these kind of people. They give everything to Jesus, but then they forget that to keep obeying Jesus, to keep staying in the right place. They say, "Yes, I'm ready." Then they see the need and they give up. And then there are those people that have the loaves. They are ready not only to do the first step, but they are ready to keep going. They are ready to keep going. And they eventually are the one who will see the multiplication. But they will not see a multiplication of bread coming out in a form of rain. Can you imagine Jesus receiving all the bread for 10,000 people in once? I think he would have been stoned by bread. Tons of bread falling down from heaven. This miracle just could not happen this way. And can you imagine in your life, all in once? I watched a movie called The Matrix. I think many of you must have watched it. It's very famous. In this movie, there is a system. Basically, every man has a kind of USB door in the brain. And when they want to learn something, they can just upload the information to the brain, and suddenly they are able to do something. And there was an actress, she asked, "Can you please upload how to drive an helicopter?" And in a few seconds she was able to drive the helicopter. This is interesting, but this is not how life goes. You know, we need to be able to receive day by God, and not expecting things to happen like this. So we fix our eyes. You know, when we live in the spiritual world, we need to fix our eyes not on what we can see, as Corinthians says, but in what we do not see. Because our spiritual work is about eternal things, not temporal things. Eternal things we do not see with our eyes. But the things that we can see are only temporal. We need to believe in God. We need to trust in God. We need to have faith. And the question is, which one of the three are you? This wants to be a challenge this morning. Which one of the three are you? Because there is not such a fourth category which says you have nothing. No, this is not in the Bible. This is not real. There is no one here from the youngest to the oldest who has nothing. Nothing to give. You know, there is a parable called the parable of the talents, or from the NIV is the parable of the bags of gold, where a rich man leaves the land and gives to a servant 5 bags of gold or talents. To another, he gives 2. And to another, he gives 1. But there is no servant who receives nothing. So, which category are you? What are you doing with what you received from God? You know, I think that the question we need to ask is, what do you have? What do I have? Because, you know, there are people who have, but they don't know they have. There are people who know they have, and they don't want to do anything. But there are other people who think they have nothing. And I want to encourage you. Pray, ask God, what do I have? What can I do for you? What can I give? Maybe you have a spare bedroom, and God is asking you to practice hospitality. There are lots of people who can't pay a rent. There are lots of missionaries who are struggling, who need a bed. Are you ready to practice hospitality? Are you ready to give your little bedroom to start helping in your little someone? And God is able to multiply this in great blessings for your life. Maybe you have some free time in the afternoon. You can visit someone. You can encourage someone. You can go around. But how many people there are around that needs to be visited? Yes, you can start with 1. You can start with 2. Don't be discouraged because the need is great. Be encouraged that you can do something about it. Maybe you have computer skills. I want to be very practical. Maybe you can help the pastor in typing something. Maybe you can help in just typing in the church or some researches. Maybe you are good in writing. Maybe you can start a church magazine if you don't have one. Or if you do have one, maybe you can be and help. Maybe you have manual skills. And this is interesting. I said Africa, but it can be anywhere. Maybe you have manual skills. Maybe you are good in building. Maybe you are good in helping out in very practical ways. You know, when we read the Bible, we give always great spiritual applications, which is good. But Jesus was speaking with very simple people. Jesus was speaking with people like me, like you. But Africa is so big. It's a big continent. Japan, what can I do for Japan? What can I do in Asia? What can I do in South America? What can I do there? What can I do there? It's so big. I am so little. Give to God what you have. It's Jesus the one who makes the multiplication. It's not you. But when you give yourself, you have the chance to see a miracle. Amen? I just want to leave you with this question. What do you have? We can stand up and spending a few minutes before the presence of God now and just asking God, God, what do I have? What can I give to you? I really believe we can see a multiplication. I really believe, because this is the word of God. The word of God is not, I will make a miracle of bread and fish. Because as we read, it happened with oil, it happened with flour, it happened with the disciples. They were simple people, 12 people, they changed the world. 12 people. God made a multiplication. Multiplication of what? I don't know. Their spirit? Their power? Their preaching? Or just the echo of what they did? There was a teacher who told us a story he has a school in Zambia. And once he was speaking about the offering of the widow, the little coin put there. And he was speaking about, he was just preaching in another country, in Uganda, and he was speaking about his project in Zambia. And in this church in Uganda, people were very poor. They had nothing. And the pastor of the church asked them to raise money for the school in Zambia. And this teacher was very surprised. What can come out of these poor people? And one of them went at the front and gave his watch. Now his watch was worth maybe 2 pence. It was an old watch. I'm not sure if it worked. It was ugly, not in fashion. But it was all he had to give. Now when he came back to England with this watch, he was thinking, God, what can I do with this watch? And when he was in a church preaching, he showed the watch to the congregation and said, this is the offering that an African man gave for this project. I am here, I am ready to sell it for £100. At the end of the service, a lady went to him and said, can I see the watch? Yes. So she looked at the watch. Oh, I want to buy it. And she signed a check for £100. And then she said, oh, but I don't want the watch, keep it. And then another one of the church, the same day. Oh, can I see the watch? Oh, yeah, I like it. Okay, £100, but keep it. And this went on, until he raised more than £2,000 from that one worthless watch. What do you have this morning? God is not looking for big things. God is looking for something to multiply. You are all people with value. You are all people with skills, with ability, with talents, with something given from God. Are you ready to give it to God? Just close your eyes and spend some time before God. Before I was sitting in my place, and I don't know, I had I had a thought coming in my mind that in this church there are many people with potential, but only few work and do something to carry on the vision. That God is expecting more people to give what they have. I'm not saying this with a negative sense, because I am very blessed to be here and I can feel the presence of God among you. And God is not upset or angry with any one of you. But He is asking you, what do you have? He is not asking, what don't you have? He is asking, what do you have? He is not asking, how good is what you have? He is asking, what do you have? If only you would give what you have to God. If only you would give it to God, you could see the miracle. You could see years of provision. Give it to God.
Stay in that spirit of worshiping God, and let's remember that these are the words that Jesus said to His disciples: if you do this to one of these little ones, you are doing it to Me. And He said, give shelter, give bread to those who need. He put us a big mission in front of us. Let's pray to end this time, but let's pray it with our hearts, saying, God, let me be Your hands, let me be Your feet, let me be Your mouth, let me be Your eyes, God. Let us be a church that moves. Not only that receives, but that moves in You, God. Father, I pray that in this evening we can find You, God. That we can understand what You have gave to us, God. That You have blessed us in so many ways, God. That You have given us bread to eat, a house to stay, God. Thank You. Let's be grateful, and let's everyone give thanks to the Lord and say, thank You, Lord, thank You. And start thanking for everything that You have, for the car, for the house, for your job, for everything that you have is from God. Let's not forget that, and pray this evening and say, God, thank You. Thank You because You are the giver of all things. Because You have gave us Your one and only Son, God. And that's more than enough for us. That's more than enough, God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. I pray that every one of us start to walk in Your faith, God. That we can do with our hands, with our feet, with our houses, with our cars, what You will do, God. To share it, God. To give the gospel, God, not just in words, but in deeds, God, as well. Thank You, God. Thank You. I give thanks for this time, and I pray that every one of us go with this heart renewed, God, with this heart stirred up with Your word, God, that we can live what we say, that we can live what we pray, God, in the name of God. Amen. Thank You.